So, is that how we're supposed to pray? I'm not a car guy. This is, has really nothing to do with that video, but I'm not a car guy. And anybody who knows me knows this. I grew up with a dad who didn't teach me how to do anything with cars. And when I got married and we didn't have enough money to really pay for some things, I thought, here's the deal. I will change oil on my car and save money. It was, you know, rather than pay 30, 40 bucks to have somebody change the oil, I think I can probably do it for 15 or 20, even though I don't know anything about it. So I talked to my friend Steve, who was kind of like me, but had changed oil before. And I said, Steve, what do I need to do to change the oil in my car? And he said, it's pretty easy. All you do, you crawl underneath it, you find the thing that looks like a bread pan, and it has a nut on it. You loosen it and come out. You have a pan in there with you to catch all the oil will drain out. Make sure you put the nut back on. Then you get a tool and you put it in a new oil filter. You put 6 quarts of oil in your car and you're good to go. So I'm like, okay, I just got to find I can do that. I can find something that looks like a bread pan. So I take our car over to my smoking hot wife's house, her parents' house. She said, and say hey to the third service. She's there. So I take it over to her parents' house, and I park the car, and I get all the stuff. I went to the store and bought all the things that I'm supposed to have. And I crawl underneath the car, and I get underneath the car, and first of all, I think, I'm not sure really what a bread pan looks like, but let me look around, and I see something. It's like, okay, that looks pretty good, and I stuff comes out, and I get the pan underneath it. I capture all this stuff, all the oil that fell that came out, put the bolt back in. Now, my father-in-law, this was a while ago, and he kind of grew up in a different era, so I followed his direction and threw the oil into the woods, and then so I apologize. So then I go and I add all the oil, and it's like, and then I walk into the house. Carrie's in there with the parents. I'm like, I'm good to go. I took care of it all. I changed the oil. I go out and I get the car, go out of the driveway. I go to go forward, and I accelerate. Nothing happens. I accelerate and nothing happens. The car, I got to put on the emergency brake. I accelerate. The car's running fine. It's not going anywhere. So I go in and I tell him what's going on, and my father-in-law says, well, what did you do? You know, and I kind of tell him, and he comes out and looks at it, and he says, you drained all the transmission fluid, and then you added 6 quarts of oil on top of the oil that was already in there. That's why there's oil all over your engine. So then I had to drain all the oil, go to the store, get more oil, get transmission fluid again, and this project that was going to save me 20 bucks ends up costing me about double what it would cost me just to pay someone to do it. And here's the problem, not that I'm stupid, I asked the wrong guy, right? It's not my fault. I mean, I made the mistake, but in retrospect, I looked at it and thought, I asked the wrong guy. I asked Steve, who I love, who remains my best friend, but who is like me. So he was trying to dumb it down even from what he knew, because really who I should have asked is somebody who would say, here, let me do it for you. That was the lesson I learned. But I asked the wrong person, because when you want to know how to do something, you got to ask somebody that knows how to do it, right? If you want to cook, you don't ask somebody who doesn't know how to cook what you're supposed to do. If you want to change oil in your car, you don't ask somebody who maybe has done it once and probably whose dad did it for him and told him what he was doing. But you don't ask somebody who doesn't know what they're doing how to do it. Now, today we're finishing this series. Pastor John has taught the last 2 weeks. We're closing it up today on prayer. We've talked about the importance of prayer, how we connect to God, how being honest with all the things that are going on. But today we're going to talk about, how do you do it? What are you supposed to pray like? And I, both here and in the live service and at the video venue, if you can look at Luke 11, that's kind of the, we're going to spend most of our time looking at a passage in Matthew, but Luke 11 is really kind of the key to understand, because this is a passage. Let's read it quickly. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, something he did regularly. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Now think about this, okay? These guys had been, this is Luke 11, so it's a good chunk of the way into. There's four different books that tell about Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they tell about him, kind of the whole path, particularly his adult life, and he's with these guys who are his disciples, his closest followers. They had been with him for a while. We're 11 chapters into the book. They had seen him heal people. They had seen him turn water into wine. They'd seen him raise a child from the dead. They'd seen all these things. And after all that time, they didn't say, Lord, think about it. They didn't say, teach us how to heal people. They didn't say, teach us how to change water to wine. They didn't say, teach us how to get mud, spit on it, put it on a guy's eyes, and then he can see. All these things they had seen. What did they say? Teach us how to pray. The thing that they looked at the most, there was something about the way that Jesus prayed that these guys looked at and said, that's what, the intimacy of it, the connection with God, something about the way Jesus prayed, they said, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And so today, as we wrap up this series, let's look at the expert, you know, the person that we should go to and say, how am I supposed to pray? What should I pray like? Jesus is the answer. And Jesus, fortunately, we see here in Luke 11, but also in Matthew chapter 6, which if you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn there. Some of the verses are going to be up here, but we're going to stay right in Matthew chapter 6 because Jesus taught this two different times, at least. There's two different times that are recorded in the Bible where he said, here's how you should pray. Different instances, and he said, pray like this. This is the way I encourage you to pray. Doesn't mean this is the only way you can pray, but when people said, how are we supposed to pray? He said, this is what we're supposed to do. Now, if you've been around for a while, if you have a church background, or maybe even not, you probably know this passage, or you've heard it. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's and we can probably all say it, right? Our Father, art in heaven, and pretty soon we're all going, okay? It's a familiar passage that we say. And the question is, how do you pray? Do you pray, you know, when you kind of look and say, well, first of all, you may say, I'm afraid to pray. I don't even do that. But if you pray, who do you follow? Whose example do you follow? Some of us go, oh, I want to pray like, you know, that pastor I see on TV who cries about everything, you know, whatever it is. Or I want to pray like that person I know that's been around the church for a long time and prays and uses, you know, thee and thy and all those things. That sounds more holy. There's all kinds of examples, and they're fine examples. But Jesus said, here's how I'm going to encourage you to pray. So I'm not saying don't pray like someone else, but I'm saying if you want to go to the person and ask who's the expert, do what the disciples did. They went to Jesus and said, how are we supposed to pray? And Jesus said this prayer, and it's interesting because over the years, this has become a prayer, am I right? This is a prayer that people have memorized and just say. Okay, let's all pray, and we all pray together, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's not the context that Jesus taught it. Jesus said, pray like this. He didn't say memorize this prayer and say it. He said pray like this. And he goes through the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts or trespasses, whichever version you memorize, as we forgive our debtors and lead us not into temptation but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus taught that and he said this is how you're supposed to pray. So today, and this doesn't take real long, we're going to look at, and you see in your outline, five things that he really said, don't memorize this prayer, but here are five things. When you pray, pray like this. Here are five things that should be part of your prayer. So I just want you know, if you've memorized the Lord's Prayer, if you know it from going to school or growing up in church and doing it or singing it or doing whatever, if you know, that's a help because you can go, okay, what's the next thing? What do I do? And there's nothing magic about the order. There's nothing magic about the amount of time you spend in each area, but there are five things that Jesus said, here's how I would suggest you pray. Make sure these five things are in there, okay? So we're going to live in that passage today as we kind of wrap up, and you think, okay, as I take maybe some personal time, and I pray for the stuff that Sean has shared about praying about new life, and maybe I'm just going to maybe take 2 minutes a day and try to pray, or 15 minutes a day, or an hour, whatever it is for you. Jesus said, Here's some elements that I would encourage you to do. So we're going to just stay in there and let's kind of go through them and fill in these blanks about how Jesus said This is the expert saying, here's how to pray, okay? Number one, he starts off in verse 9. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's the introduction. He starts off by saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The blank is seek God's presence with a worshipful heart. There's a Greek word in there, hagiazo, which means, it's translated as hallowed, and hallowed is a weird name because you really don't hear it, right? We hear, if we hear hallowed, we think Halloween or, you know, something like, which does have the root in this word because it had a different thing, but it means holy. Jesus is saying, respect that God is holy, and as strange as it is, at least speaking for myself, we sometimes kind of forget that or neglect that, kind of take it for granted. And I grew up not going to church. I grew up in an unchurched family, not necessarily hostile to any kind of religion, but just nothing was taught. So I really didn't have any background. I didn't know Bible. I didn't grow up knowing Bible stories. I didn't know any of that. When I was a teenager, I started going to church because the church that I started going to had a gym where I could play basketball, and one of the requirements to play was you had to come once in a while. So I just went a little bit, but as time went on and I began to learn more and more stuff, it took me a while. It took several months of kind of just picking up little things where I thought, wow, I didn't know that, and this is new to me, and I'm learning that people who were willing to explain things to me. There ultimately came a point, I was a teenager, I was just starting high school, where I was at an event, and there was somebody who shared the gospel story, shared what God had did by sending Jesus to die so I could connect with the eternal God who loved me. And it resonated with me. And I made at that point, very nervously made the decision, like, I realize I need a Savior. There was no question for me at that point that there was a big gap between me and God. That God was eternal, that God was knew all the stuff that had happened in my life, that God could change my life. And as I prayed and asked Jesus to change me, to forgive me, I realized there was a massive gap between me and God. And I wasn't terrified, but I was very much kind of recognizing there's a big gap between me and God is holy. And as time passed, there comes sometimes a little bit of a slippage of that, of not necessarily thinking, oh, you know, God's my, you know, equal, but not always taking it that seriously. And it's important as we pray that we don't just kind of take God for granted. Okay, God, here's what I want. Here's my shopping list for this week. Blah, blah, blah. Take care of that, please. I'll get back with you next time I think of you. Okay? To spend some time when we pray, to spend some time recognizing who God is and recognizing God's holiness, that He's the Creator, that He is eternal. And here's a suggestion on how to do this, and you can do this however you want, but what Jesus said is take some time to recognize God's holiness. When you pray, if you have time, and this is not for those emergency prayers when your car's, you know, out of control on Interstate 80, but this is more, you know, when I'm taking time to pray, when you take time to pray, sit down and just take a couple minutes and just chill and think about God, thank God for what He's done, but also just for who He is. Start your prayer. Jesus said, recognize that God's holy. The reason we're praying to God is because He's God. And Jesus said, part of that regular prayer time is, God, you're holy. You've been around forever. You can do stuff that I can't even think of. And to recognize that. Jesus said, that's the first thing. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Recognize God's holiness. Then it goes on. Second thing, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second thing Jesus said is to seek God's priorities over ours. Seek God's priorities over ours. And this is a tough one, at least for me, because I want what I want, right? Don't you want what you want? And I don't know if you ever find yourself in this thing, but sometimes I find myself in the position of lobbying God to try to get Him to do what I want Him to do. Okay, here, I know you got something, but here, I've thought about this. I know and what Jesus said is part of prayer is that two-way communication where it's not just me saying, here, I want, or even, because sometimes it's even for other people, but here's what I want you to do, God. But spending time to align our wills with God's. God, where am I going? What's going on? I want your will in my job. or in my family, in my relationships. I want to do what you want. What do you want me to do? I really want to raise, I want a nicer car, I want you to manipulate that person so they won't act the way they act toward me. I want a person that I can manipulate, you know, whatever it is. But prayer is as much about God as it is about us. So it's not just, Jesus is saying, it's not just about here's what I need, but praying that God's will gets done in our lives. What does God want to do in our lives? Because we've all had, right? Have you ever been in the situation where you're around somebody who always talks and never listens? Maybe there's somebody who comes and says, oh, I got this problem, and you know the answer. And maybe you're one of the people that will interrupt and go, here's the answer. Or maybe you're one of the people that's never going to say what the answer is, but all they want to do is talk about their problem. Oh, you'll never believe what happened this time. And that's okay in a season, but most of us get tired of that. And sometimes prayers like that, that I wonder if sometimes God's going, okay, wait, will you stop and listen or think about what's going on? Matthew 6:33, which is just down from this a little bit, Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that's really what this part of the prayer is about. What are we seeking first? Do I really want God's will first in my life? Which is not fatalistic, like, God, whatever, if I'm going to get in a car wreck today, that's not what we're talking about. But it's like, God, what do you want in my life? When I'm praying, I start by saying, God, you're holy and you're above me. You're greater than me. You're God. But secondly, God, I want you to work in my life. Before I start listing what I want you to do, I just want to make sure that I'm doing what you want me to do. That's part of prayer. That's what Jesus said, the expert said, is part of prayer. So he does those first two things. So again, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Verse 11, the third thing we're supposed to do. Seek God's provision for our daily needs. This is what we spend most of our time praying about. And Jesus, by the way, isn't saying, here's five things, spend equal time on each of these. It's okay to spend more on some than the others, but Jesus said, seek God's provision for our daily needs, and there's two problems that we sometimes have with this. One is that while we say God provides for our daily needs, we really think we provide for our daily needs, right? I do. I mean, this is an issue for me because it's really a strong built-in part of me of, like, I take care of things. Okay, I know I'll take care of it. And it feels that way, right? I'll take care of earning the money. I've got a job. I'll provide for my family. And that all seems like I'm providing with a wink to God for me, I felt this really strongly until last November when I got called into a room with a group of people and they told us they were eliminating our jobs. That pretty much swept out the, like, I provide for my family, and made me pretty aware of, like, I need God's help to provide. We can feel like I provide, I'm fine, until we maybe go in and a doctor says, we got the test results back and they're not good. That changes everything, where all of a sudden that illusion we had of, like, I'm strong, I can take care of things, I'll always be here, I'll be able to do everything. I need God's provision in my life. Or I'm a good parent, I can take care of it, and then you get the call, or you see the doctor, and the doctor says, there's this going on with your kid, or you get the call, and they say, hi, Mr. Stanhope, this is the police department, and it all changes. And so sometimes that's one problem, where we go, give us today our daily bread, but I can really take care of it, God. I don't really need you to provide. On the other hand, sometimes we don't want to ask. I feel stupid asking God to help me with a basic needs of my life. I should be taking care of them. Now, there's an element of truth in that, but it's really not, because Jesus said to do it. Jesus said, ask God to provide your daily needs. We don't have to feel dumb about doing that. I had in my small group a few years ago, I had a couple that had, because of issues, one of their sisters, the sister of one of the members of the couple had died, and they were taking care of the kid. They had two full families in their house, and they were living in an apartment, in a small apartment, with like several teenagers living there. And they would come to the small group, and they would talk about it a little bit. And one week, finally, I said, how about if we, can we pray for you to get a bigger place? And they said, I don't know, that seems selfish, and I don't want to do that. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with asking. And the worst that's going to happen is you're going to stay where you are, but it sounds like you really need a bigger place. And they reluctantly said, okay, we can do it, because they were kind of like, I don't want to bug God with something as stupid as my housing situation. Jesus said, give us today our daily bread. So we prayed, and the next week they came to the group and they said, it was really strange. We weren't expecting it, but we got a house in the middle of the week. Now, they were very new to the faith, and I really believe God wants to answer prayers to build faith of people. That doesn't mean that every one of those prayers gets answered. In fact, we know that they don't. I mean, we've all probably prayed for things and went, oh, I really could use this, and it didn't happen. But when we say, Jesus said, pray for your daily needs. Pray for things that you need. Pray for the stuff that's going on. Start by recognizing how holy God is. Take some time. Prayer is not just about your daily needs. Recognize how holy God is. Align your will with His. Allow God to show you where you need to get your life in His, to do what He wants you to do. But then pray for your daily things that are going on. This includes all kinds of stuff. This is praying for other people. This is praying for what's going on in your life, for your health, for your basic things. Jesus said to do it in Philippians 4:19. Paul, writing at the end of a letter written from prison, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God will meet our needs. Jesus said, pray for your needs to be met. Paul said, your needs, not your wants, your needs will be met. God will meet them according to His riches. So Jesus said those things. Pray that here's some things to pray for. And then He continued. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. For some of us, that's like once a week. I need God's forgiveness. For some of us, that's once an hour. For some of us, since I started saying this sentence, you've already needed to pray for forgiveness, right? And we're all over the place. But Jesus said a crucial part of our prayer life is ask for forgiveness and granting forgiveness. That's part of our prayer life. Don't separate that out. That's part of our prayer life. And again, there's a couple of issues that we have in this. One is that some of us who maybe have really been drilled on certain theologies, you know, certain beliefs we have, and these are beliefs that I agree with, but go, I don't need to pray for forgiveness. Jesus' grace covers all my sins. I've already been forgiven. Okay, now that's pretty right theologically. You know what the problem is? Jesus said we're supposed to pray for forgiveness. That's a kind of a little hole in that. That we can't, it doesn't mean we lose our salvation. It doesn't mean that God departs from us if we sin. But Jesus said we need to ask God for forgiveness regularly. When you pray, pray like this. And one of the elements is ask for forgiveness. Take some time and think about what's going on and ask for forgiveness. And it may be, God, forgive me for this really big, obvious thing. There may be attitudes that only you know. There may be things that are going on that only you know. So, you know, some of us go, well, I don't really need to do that because that's already been taken care of. Well, sorry, Jesus said we're supposed to do it. The other, though, sometimes we feel like, I'm past forgiveness. I'm asking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over again, and I just keep doing it over and over again. And sometimes that's a different issue. But I want to encourage you, and maybe some of you, this is the only thing that you need to hear today, but you need to hear this. Faith is doing things. Really, faith is doing things that doesn't feel right, doesn't feel like it's true, but I'm going to believe it anyway. It doesn't take faith to believe something, oh, this feels good. What takes faith is to go, I'm going to believe that even though it doesn't seem like that's going on. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to Him, to God, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins, God forgives your sins. And you may need to just claim that on faith and go, you know what? I don't feel forgiven, but the Bible says if I confess, I'm forgiven. Jesus said that's part of our prayer life, to ask for forgiveness and to accept that it's there, also to forgive. So what is it? You know, as you're regularly praying and you're doing these elements, it may be, man, I need forgiveness for that lust issue I have. I need forgiveness for that dishonesty issue, or for the way I treat other people, for the way that I gossiped today because I heard something and I had to tell somebody else what was going on, or that habit I have, or these addictions that I'm fighting. Jesus said a regular part, the expert on prayer, said a regular part of your prayer life should be praying for forgiveness and granting forgiveness. So again, Jesus said, here's how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Recognize, take some time and recognize God's holiness. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Take some time and align yourself. God, I want your will in my relationships. I want your will in my job. Give us today our daily bread. Take some time and pray for those things that you need, your regular things, and recognize God's part in that. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Practice forgiveness. And then verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Seek God's power to overcome temptation. It's not a coincidence this comes right after the forgiveness part, where Jesus is saying, you need God's power. Pray for God's power to resist temptation. Because Jesus didn't consider Satan to be a metaphor or a human explanation for evil because they can't come up with anything else. Jesus considered Satan to be an adversary that we could pray against and pray for release from temptation. You're going to be tempted. That's one of the realities. That's a promise of the Bible. You're going to be tempted. We don't claim that as a promise. Nobody has that on the refrigerator, you know, or a bumper sticker. I will be tempted. But Jesus said it's okay to pray about it. Pray for deliverance from temptation. You'll go home today and guys, you'll turn on the TV or you'll go to a website and something will pop up and you'll be tempted to either keep clicking or start thinking and go off, or some of us, you'll be tempted to, that person will say something and you'll be tempted because you've got the perfect comeback that'll make them shut their mouth even though it won't. Or you'll hear that bit of information that really needs to be passed on, or that you'll be tempted, you have an addiction issue and you'll go in a situation where you'll be tempted to do it. Jesus said it's okay, pray for release from that and for deliverance from that. And dealing with temptation, this is a passage, there's a passage in the Bible that again, you may need to just hear this today. There's a passage in the Bible that I carried around in my wallet for years. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation for you that other people haven't faced. It's common to man. Other people have not faced that temptation. But God is faithful and will provide a way out. And he won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Here's the truth of the Bible, and this is another exercise of faith. And when you're looking at temptation and you're dealing with temptation, remember this. God won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Maybe beyond what you feel like being able, but not beyond what you're able. And God will provide a way out. The truth, a lot of times we don't want to take the way out because the temptation's fun. Right? It feels good. It feels right. But there is a way out. That way out may be just to stop doing what you're doing and to leave. That way out may be not to get into that situation. That way out may be to have other people hold you accountable on that. That way out may be something else. But God promises in the Bible that he provides a way out. It's interesting, though, that Jesus said, pray that God that you will be, that you can avoid temptation and that you'll be delivered. There's a whole bunch of other things we can pray about, and Jesus, I want to make it clear, Jesus isn't saying this is the only way you can pray. You can't pray about anything that's not in this, but when asked by his followers, how should we pray? This is the model he gave us. He said, pray like this. Recognize God's holiness. Align your will with God. Ask for God's will to be done in your life. Pray for those daily, those things that you need in your life. Pray for forgiveness and grant forgiveness. Pray for resistance and deliverance from temptation. Pray all those things. And by the way, let me just throw this in as a side, because some of you probably are looking at this going, what about for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen. You know that part? Now that is in later versions. Scholars don't think that was in the early versions. Doesn't mean that's an evil part, but that was a part that is added to make it kind of they call it a doxology, a prayer part. That's not in the early versions of the Bible. This is what Jesus said, as far as we know. It's what the Bible teaches us, is that when Jesus was asked, how are you supposed to pray? He said, pray and include these five things. So this is just really today we're wrapping up. This is really just a practical matter. We've talked about the importance of prayer, but if you want kind of that mental, like, okay, how am I supposed to do it? If you know the Lord's Prayer, if you know what Jesus said, he's the expert we go to and say, how are we supposed to do it? Jesus said, pray like this, and he gave that thing. So I want to encourage you this week as you pray, and as you pray for the things that you've been asked to pray about regarding the property and all that stuff, incorporate it big like this. Start small even. If you're not regularly praying, just say, I'm going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to pray those things. Maybe open your Bible to Matthew 6 and keep it in there. If you have it memorized, you can do that. Just take some time and allow that to grow, but make sure those elements are all, you know, try to make all those elements in there. It'll make a difference in your life, because it's really the way that the master prayer told us is how we're supposed to pray. So let's close with prayer.